want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel with me. This is a passage of Scripture that we usually go to concerning a dedication time for a baby or a child. And I want to bring out some of those verses. This sermon today will be brought to you by the letter D. There'll be a lot of D letters that I'll use, not cuss words, but letters and phrases. Like number one, we'll give you a disclaimer concerning this message. Today is part special ceremony, which we will get to at the end, but God has greatly burdened my heart for the seriousness to challenge these families and their extended families and our church. And this will go out also through other ways, through sermon audio, Facebook, such as that, help you understand. If I say something this morning, it was given to me by the Lord, and I can show you my notes if you don't believe it. But if I tell you the truth and you become my enemy or I become your enemy, then I'll just have to be your enemy today or forever. I hope not, because I want to tell you the truth and challenge, but I want to speak the truth in love, and I want to have compassion as well concerning this. Now, in this passage of Scripture here, we'll find Hannah wanting to dedicate a baby that she has not ever had yet. She vows a vow wanting a child, and once that baby comes, she's going to give him back to the Lord. And we'll look at several places here in this Scripture and other places as I'll read all these, and then we'll go into deeper into the message. This is a declaration of dedication. They're declaring they are dedicating this child to the Lord. So it's much larger than, here's a baby, kiss it on the forehead, and I'm not going to kiss your babies on the forehead, don't y'all get worried, but or whatever that ceremony has been in different places and churches. It's much more about the heart of the parents, of how they dedicate their child. Verse 11, the Bible said she vowed a vow. The Bible tells us it's better to never make a vow to God Almighty than to make that vow and break it. So it would be very important to understand the seriousness of when we are doing something to God, towards God, that it is real. God is real. And we can make promises with each other, but we need to really understand. We want to commit to God and be serious about it. The Bible says in verse 11, she says, she vowed a vow, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child. She wanted a male child, a boy child, because there was a desire in the culture there that somehow they might be the one who could have the Messiah come into their family tree, their family lineage. So they longed for that. They looked for that. Amen. And so she mentions that in verse number 11. Then in verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. And that name means he's been asked of God. Amen. Asking God for that child. And God delivered that child. And she says, because I have asked him of the Lord. In verse number 24, when she had weaned him, she took him with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour. These are all sacrificial things that they would bring to the temple in the time of a birth, and the different sacrifices that they would make in the culture of the Jews at this time. And the Bible said they brought a bottle of wine, brought him under the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman, she's talking to Eli here, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child, I prayed. That's convicting. Amen. All by itself. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Father, we pray that you help us today. Help us, God, to say what we need to say and not say anything that we shouldn't. We ask you, God, to help us, Lord, as we preach and challenge, and Lord, as we also celebrate as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians 6:4, the Bible says, Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's convicting.
Amen.
How many times I have provoked my children to wrath, but I'm challenged to bring them up in the nurture, to nurture them and admonition. And then Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And in Joshua 24:15, Joshua is an old man getting ready to leave this world. And he declares publicly to everybody who's listening of the people of Israel, as an old man, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then you choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He kind of called him out because he's an old man, an old grandpa getting ready to die. And he said, my whole house is going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm dedicating them. Now, whether we meet that bar or not, or we fail it, is individually between us and God. It's on us. So I want to look at this quickly. A lot of things transpired the last couple of weeks to form this message. So number one, what the title of my message is, what is a baby / child dedication? What is a dedication? Well, first of all, I want to tell you what it is not.
Come on now.
Y'all, nobody could get that first. It's not a decision for salvation.
Yeah.
These children will not be getting saved today because their parents are bringing them up here to go through the ceremony and be prayed over. This is not a decision for salvation, because salvation is when a person places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 8:36, there was a man who was reading Scripture. He was able to read it and comprehend it, and he was trying to understand it. God sent him Philip to be with him. He said, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I? Said, some man should guide me. And he says, he gets in the chariot with him, and he talks to him about the Lord, and he gets into that book of Isaiah, and he preaches unto him Jesus.
Amen.
And this man says to him, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, this is confession with thy mouth. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
And until your child is able to do that, this is a dedication more of the parents than it is that baby. This is not salvation. There are many denominations or religions that teach christening or sprinkling. We will not be doing that today. Or baptizing a baby, because that person needs to be able to understand their sinful condition and who the remedy of that sinful condition is, and that's the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Until they understand their need of God, understand their need of being saved and why Jesus died for them. I've talked to children during Bible school in different times of the year. Parents will bring them, so their kids talking about wanting to be saved, which is a good sign that they're hearing things in the home that reinforces that. And they'll come to me, and we'll sit down and talk, sometimes I'll just get to the point, you know, well, why do you think Jesus died? And if they can't answer that, then I'll tell them that he died for their sins, the bad things that they do. I'll ask them, have you ever done anything that was wrong or bad? And it's amazing the consciousness that God put in even in a child to know early on some of the right and wrong things they do. They know when they lie. They know when they steal. Even some of these younger kids that are probably 2 or 3 right in there, you ever see them grab something that they know you told them 100,000 times not to touch it, not to grab it, not to mess with it, and they look back at you as they grab it and they try to hide it? There's a guilt consciousness there. It's not Jimmy the Cricket, Pinocchio's little cricket friend. This is God-given, infused in a human being, a consciousness to understand that there's right and wrong. And when there comes a day they realize there's a void in their heart that can only be filled by Jesus, then they can get saved. So this is not salvation. This does not replace salvation, because they need to be able to place a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This man read those verses. He believed upon the Lord, and he called, he declared that he knew him. He wanted to trust him as his Savior. He believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And they stopped the chariot, and he went and got in the water and got baptized. All that happened at the same time, but it was from the heart. Romans 10:13. See if this can apply to a child, a little baby, 2 or 3 years old. If they get 4 or 5 years old, they may be able to understand. Some are way ahead. I'm slow. Don't say amen right there. I'm slow, still slow in a lot of ways. But when I was 8 years old, I made a profession that I later believed was not real. And when I was 19, I got under real spiritual Holy Ghost conviction that shook me to my core, and I knew I needed to be saved. But some kids come at a younger age, but they have to be able to be at this place, and everybody might be on different levels, but to call upon the name of the Lord, those that do that shall be saved. Romans 10:14, how should they call upon him whom they have not believed?
Yes, sir.
How should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And that implies more than just the audible, but it's the understanding of it.
Yes,
being able to apply it and get it. And there's even adults that don't do that. How should they hear without a preacher? There needs to be a proclamation of this gospel, this truth, this message. How should they preach? Romans 10:15, except they be sent, as it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah saith, the Lord who hath believed our report. They need to be able to believe the report of the gospel. And in Romans 10:17 puts it very eloquently. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that age may be different. But when you bring a baby or a little 2-year-old child up, this is not replacing their salvation. So don't fall into the lines of deception and deceiving your kids that they're okay all their life when God may be dealing with them and telling them they need him as their Savior. And you tell, oh, you got dedicated 2022 on August 16th. Is that the date?
14th.
Okay. Well, anyhow, see, I'm deceived already. The deception of it to say that this is salvation when it is not. The Philippian jailer, when the jail was shaking and Paul and Silas was in there, he came to them. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It has to be a belief, a confession that involves our heart, a calling upon the name of the Lord. So what it is not a decision for salvation. It is also not a declaration of Christianity. This does not make them Christians. Because I got to get this order. I'm not assuming you know this or know that. Just act like all of us are dumb as bricks and we'll all be educated before we get out of here. Don't get offended at me, please. But just because I'm a Christian does not mean my child will be a Christian.
Yeah, you're right.
Does not mean that. And a person, not everybody that is saved is a Christian, because a Christian is a Christ follower, a Christ-like person in their nature. They act like him. They want to live like what the Bible teaches us to live like. They embrace his commandments. Some people are saved, but they just don't fall into a lot of things of letting God conform them to his image.
Amen.
John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you cannot enter or see the kingdom of God without being born again. But after you get born again, you're supposed to start following the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these little kids can only do so much of what they'll be taught in the home and taught at the church. And if they're in a Christian school, they'll be taught some things there. But don't just think that a Christian school is a cure-all, end-all. There are some ungodly people in Christian schools as well. The importance is the home has to be dedicated to teaching these things. Teaching them about what Christianity is, about the teachings of Christ and following the Lord. And just because you dedicate a child doesn't mean they're an instant Christian. That's a deception thing that comes along. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that child has to get to a place where it can not only just love who they know God is from what they're taught from the scriptures and what the Spirit of God teaches them, but they also have to learn to trust him and believe his word and be saved and then follow him. So don't, be real careful what you teach, because I have met grown-ups who their only hope of heaven is when they tell me they got christened when they were a little 4-month-old baby. Impossible for that 4-month-old baby to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Our dedication, our doctrine, anything we do must filter and be guided within the scriptures of the Word of God. So what it is, What is a dedication? It is a dedication of the parents more than the child.
Amen.
A desire to dedicate the child unto God, for them for God to get glory and God to do the work in that child's life. Like Hannah said, I have lent him to the Lord. But the stipulation was all of his life he'll be God's.
Yeah.
Giving him back to the Lord. It's a desire to dedicate yourself to this task, to accept this challenge. Ephesians 6:4 says this, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That verse represents two thoughts, the work and the warning. It takes work to live for God and raise your family to live for God. And there are warnings or admonitions. I know we're living in a society today, and I'll get deeper in the swamp here in a little while. But we know there's a lot of people that they just say, well, I don't like a religion or a church or a Bible or a God that has all these do's and don'ts. Well, if there is an almighty God that created everything, we got to fall in place with what he says. He calls the shots. But I'm glad I can understand later after I got saved and as I'm trying to learn the scriptures that many of the do's and don'ts as he puts in the Word of God is for my well-being, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that he cares about my well-being. But it's ultimately for his glory and honor. So a dedication is a time of the parents dedicating way more than it is dedicating that child. You can bring that child up here today, little Haley. We're going to go in alphabetical order, so don't get mad. I had nothing to do with your alphabetical names. We're just going to do it simply that way. But there'll be one that's able to stand, and one, have you seen her? That little Haley's like a little fur ball there in that little dress. Y'all haven't seen her yet. Y'all going to have just a little bitty, beautiful little thing. But just dedicating her and saying, all right, now it's on you. It's on you, Becca. It's on you, Haley. You're dedicated. I got nothing else to do with it. That's a foolish thought. And I'm not saying anybody thinks that way, but it sometimes seems like some people think that way. You got to stay dedicated. Even if they never trust in the Lord Jesus themselves, even if they never show a personal faith, or they walk away from everything that you've shown them or led them to, she loaned Samuel to the Lord, never to receive him back all the days of his life. He was a priest and a judge over Israel and is considered one of the greatest of the priests over all those days. He was a personal confidant to King Saul and King David. In the days of his childhood, as ours all go by, and those little babies, those children you have, they go by so fast. You think about what 10 years would do to anybody in this congregation. In 10 years, I will be 63. In 10 years, those in their 80s and 90s would be in their 90s and hundreds. And those little babies would be teenagers. And some of those in their teens would be adults, 20-something years old. A lot of changes just in a decade. So when we think about this, we should be committed not only for all of their lives, but for all of our lives. As long as possible. But even with that, there's not a guarantee that they're going to get saved, that they're going to love the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 causes a lot of debate and problems to people. Train up a child in the way he should go when he is old. He will not depart from it. And I've had parents ask me, I tried, I attained. Now, obviously, in our own mind, we believe we've done the best that we can, but we're all going to stand before God, and he's going to show us our shortcomings. He's going to show us our hypocrisies, because these are the things our children see in our lives. They see our ups and downs, our lowest points. They see our best put on Sunday and our worst on the other days of the week. I told you it's going to get a little tough. But we're all guilty of that. Y'all might as well just say amen. It'd be a whole lot easier on us. And those children see that. I don't know if you know who Johnny Pope is. He's a preacher that preaches pastors in Texas, and he's about 70-something years old now, and he's one of the most, as far as independent Baptists, he's one of the most sought-after youth revival preachers, and he's in his 70s. He's just got a charisma about him. He's just he's a cool, bald-headed preacher. I don't know how else to say it, but he is just something about him. And he preaches some amazing messages, and those young people flock to him, and he revealed one time they would come and talk, and they begin to talk about all the trouble they're living in at home, what their parents were doing to them, how they were treating them, and all these things have an effect. Many times, it's lifelong effects. But if we do the very best we can under the Lord, ask God for forgiveness, ask our children for forgiveness along the way, and try to be sincere in that, and try to train them and teach them the best way we can, and leave it in God's hands. I promise you this, when they're old, they will never be able to shake it and depart it. They'll always know the principles of that word, whether they refuse them or reject them. They'll know what thus saith the Lord says.
Amen.
Even if they know their mom and daddy wasn't right, they know what God says. They know what the standard is. They know what's right. Even if they don't know anybody that was right or any halfway close to being right, they'll know there is a path that is right and a righteous way God requires of us. And what a joy it would be able to see our children walk in that truth and gladly receive it and walk in the paths that the Bible teaches us. Your children may turn and walk away from all your dedication one day. Right now in that moment, especially of those who are dedicating their children, you don't want to think about anything like that. But somebody has said very profoundly that your children will step on your feet when they're young and they will step on your heart when they get older.
Right.
Many times that happens. And they may not walk in the way that you've pointed them to walk. But your dedication and faithfulness needs to remain regardless. They may hate God, reject the Bible, even claim to be atheist. And the words atheist and agnostic have that A prefix to it, which means there's none. There is no theism. There is no God. There is no power greater. And agnostic means that you cannot know the knowledge of it, that is not obtainable. There's no way to be able to truly find out and figure out if there is a God. Well, I beg to differ, because this Bible has pointed me to that God, and that God I just told you about a while ago, I called upon Him for salvation and believed upon Him, and He saved me. I got born again. That's a transaction of birth that happened in my heart, and I know that He's real. My children have seen my mistakes and my failures. And I've had to apologize to them many occasions of how I treated them or how I said something. I didn't cuss them or curse at them, but you can say some pretty ugly, hard, hurtful things without using cuss words. And my temperament and things like that. And I'd have to call them in. And after God took me to the woodshed, I had to bring them in and talk to them and sit down and tell them, I'm sorry, I handled you wrong. I handled this wrong. And all I can do is try to pick up those broken pieces and try to do my best to keep pursuing the things of God, pointing them the right way, helping them to see that I'm not a perfect man, but I am a forgiven man, and I'm a man that's trying to seek God's heart. And in doing that along the way, hopefully, they will walk for God. They will live for God. Some walk away, even though it's a personal faith they must choose. They reject it. Some kids know how to say all the right things to their parents. We sometimes act like kids are not as bright. They're really sharper than we want to give them credit for. And all the young kids here think their parents are dumb and don't know nothing anyway. I mean, that way each generation does. And as you get older, you start realizing how smart your parents really were.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Right. Well, they're pretty bright. My mama did have eyes in the back of her head. I promise you she did. Boy. But to think this strongly challenges us with how dedicated we are to our children's spiritual training, if we truly have committed to them their entire trainable lives, because it's a short window. I can't tell you how many times I've had families say, "Preacher, pray for my children. I raised them in church. I don't know what's wrong," but they don't want to come back. When you look back at that window of things, there's a cultural battle that we're in. And there's some things that we chase that causes our kids to kind of fall off the wagon along the way.
Come on, man. That's good preaching.
In any era, especially in this last days, what it is it is difficult to dedicate your child and to stay committed to it the entire time. There is a sexual revolution trying to attack the whole society today. And I would be foolish to say to you as parents or these younger couples that are raising these children today, some of your children are in junior high and high school as well, I'd be foolish to tell you and say, "Well, you just need to do this and just do that. I mean, I raised my children, blah, 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 blah." It is much more challenging to raise children today than it was when I raised Micah and Jared.
much more challenging. I'd be foolish to say that it wasn't. And if you're older and you're 80-something years old and you say, well, they just need to do this and get the hickory out, blah, 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 you'd never dealt with some of the stuff that we're dealing with today. I counsel with people all the time. I know what's going on, even though I'm not necessarily in the trenches with it all the time. But there is a constant battle, and it is in a new level. When these kids go back to school tomorrow and this next week or so, there are going to be things attacking them. Their sexual identity, there are going to be things attacking everything they have learned spiritually. Everything they might have got in VBS is going to be slapped out of them in these school systems. You have got to dedicate yourself to the battle that's involved of what it means to dedicate your child to God.
That's right.
Even if you already did this with all your children, maybe you need to reaffirm this yourself in your heart.
Amen.
I read about a 4-year-old girl who wanted to do a gender redo because when they said that she was going to be born, they popped the confetti thing and it didn't go off, and her family allowed this idea to go through her life. And at 4 years old, during a pride parade, they stopped the parade, they popped the thing, it went blue, and they all celebrated that she's now going to be a boy. Now what they're not telling her about that is almost millions of dollars of gender reassignment surgery that's coming, and always taking medicines every month of your life, trying to suppress the God-given natural chemicals of estrogen or testosterone that is in their body. All these things we're facing today, and people just kind of act like some of this stuff is superficial. We're living in some challenging days. I never faced that raising my kids. But I'll tell you, as pastor, as long as I'm here, I got your back. No matter what happens, I got your back. If you'll stand on the truth of the Word of God, I will stand there with you. But when you leave it, I cannot stand with you.
Yes, sir.
But I'll have your back. I'll stand with you on that. And also, I wrote this down. You can get mad if you want to. I hope you don't. But I wrote this note. Chasing the dream, or chasing ball, or chasing some kind of success. Some kids go into acting, some kids go into gymnastics, some are focusing on ball and things like that, and their dedication is so out of whack. It's much more dedicated to those dreams and those pursuits than they are to God.
That's right.
And I read this. 1% of the population of the world, it's almost 8 billion people, less than 1% play pro ball. But we chase it like, and I did the same thing. My boys played ball, and it's like, I'm going to be the next Hank Aaron or whoever I can think of. Some of y'all don't even know who that guy is. I'm so old. Who's the hot players? I don't even know some. Aaron Judge, is that his name? Judge? I think he's chasing the home run record right now. See, I know some things. But 1% make it, and yet we invest all those childhood years, and then boom, and then you're ready to go back to focusing on what you know is right, and your kids won't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, you're right.
We got to realize it's way much more to dedication. It's a lot harder than just coming up here and getting a Bible, and we're going to do all those ceremonial things. But one day it's going to become discussion worthy. To have that little Bible, to have that certificate. And I'll read this to you. And this is to the families, but this is what I had written up. The Lord laid it on my heart to put it up this way. It's going to have the baby's name on it, the day they were born. It is hereby dedicated to the Lord this day, 14th day. Y'all agree? August 2022, the parent's name will be on here. Have committed to bring their child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, and have resolved to provide a Christ-centered example and training in the ways of the Scriptures, Proverbs 22:6, so that their child can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and one day may call upon Him by faith for salvation. This is attested to by the parents and empowered by the God-granted gift of life. Now, I didn't find that on the internet. You can't hardly find stuff like that on the internet. But God laid it on my heart to word it that way. Now, this can go in a frame or whatever, but one day it might be a discussion-worthy topic. Here's why we dedicated you. Maybe you could discuss what salvation is truly by faith. And that moment of them getting saved was because you dedicated this moment. Some of you have had your kids get saved at young ages. You sat down with them. You've called me on the phone. So-and-so got saved today. Talked to me in the bedroom after we had devotion or after we prayer. Those are precious, yes. Precious things that are part of the dedication. Your kids know you're not perfect. And these real young ones, they'll eventually figure it out. But they're much more forgiving than we are. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to have a lot of faults and failures. And one thing about kids, if we'll not damage them too much, they're very forgiving and very graceful and merciful and very loving. You can get on them and punish them one minute, and the next minute, they shook it off and they love you like nothing ever happened. That's a special gift.
Amen.
It disappears pretty quick, though, doesn't it, as they get older. It's a discussion-worthy topic because one day it might be important to dedicate them and yourselves. And you ask the question why it was so important you to do this, to declare this. It also may become a discussion-worthy moment where you might discuss why you're not in church any longer. Can you imagine digging out a Bible with their name and a date or a certificate, a dusty certificate that you took off the wall and you hid somewhere in a box and somebody gets it? Maybe you're dead and gone and go, wow, they dedicated me to the Lord 50 years ago. Wow. I never knew. Don't let it be a time of dedication that they're not even ever going to be aware of when they can become aware of it. It could be a discussion worthy moment when you can say, boy, I sure am glad that I stayed dedicated. I stayed with it. I fell a lot, but I got back up. We got off track a lot, but we got back on track.
Yes.
Amen. We get out of whack once in a while, and God would whack our hearts back into shape. And we'd start living for Him. And we went through a lot of times of discouragement, depression. Then there were times of revival. There were times that there were losses, but there were much more gains. And honey, child, son, so glad we stayed dedicated. And I'm so glad that came that day you truly placed your faith in the Lord to be saved. I'm so proud of the person you are becoming in Christ. I've talked to adults that are struggling with this because of different situations in their life. Many times it's because there's some really sorry people in people's lives that tear them down. You need to find your identity, not on what the school system says, not on what the world says, but your identity needs to be found in Christ Jesus. And if you read something that someone used a scripture to browbeat you and beat you down, and you read that scripture and it goes, well, I'm guilty of this. Well, get saved, get right, and then find your identity is now that you're redeemed, you have been bought, you are forgiven, you're saved. Don't find your identity in what somebody else says in you, but find it in what the scriptures actually say who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dedication sure stirred my heart in this few thoughts of message today. Sister Ellison's going to come on up in a minute, but I'm going to have Sister Tonda, she's still here, because she played something for us. I'm going to have a time of altar call.
Amen.
Maybe you'd like to go to the altar and pray. Maybe you're not bringing up a small child here today. Your children are grown, and you can't drag them down here and make them do everything you want them to do. But I promise you this, it's more about your heart than it is theirs. And then one day, maybe they could see your heart after God, and they'll want to give their heart to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here say, preacher, I'm not saved, and I'd like to give my heart to the Lord and be saved today. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Preacher, pray for me. I dedicated my life for my children many years ago, and I've gotten off track, and I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Anybody here like that? Say, preacher, pray for me. Yes, ma'am. I need to rededicate myself. Preacher, I want to dedicate or renew my vows that I have committed to teaching my children, and I've gotten off a track. I've gotten distracted. I've gotten stressed out by many things in life, and I want to get back on track today. Would you raise your hand? Maybe you raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Several hands. What a blessing. Well, pray. Talk to God. Vow that vow. Commit that heart. Say, God, let me get my heart right. Let me be dedicated. And let me be dedicated to raising that. Some of you got nephews and nieces and grandchildren that you're responsible for, that you have an influence over. Ask God to help you. To be resolved. Be that example. Help them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.